And I think he has 250 piercings on his face, ears, and neck. And I said, if this man walked into your church, what would you do? Well, part of our dilemma is we have these preconceived notions of certain people in certain situations. Some of you remember so far back that when we did one of our first Christmas pageants, and I don't know if I was still the visiting pastor at the time or a new pastor, I did not come to church. It's the Christmas program, the evening, everybody's set up and all kinds of stuff. And we happened to be facing that way at the time. And I had my elders save me a seat off to the one side, about three rows back from the front. And I came in the grubbiest old, I have what I call my Russian front coat, my bibs. Those of you who know me, and I love bibs. And, just a wretched old hat and hood over my head. And I came in kind of shuffling along the side. Nobody knew it was me. Or most people didn't know. I suppose there are people that knew. You're like, oh, I knew. Yes, I know. And I walked up and I sat down. And there was no pastor. No pastor started the service. No pastor seemed to be in the church. And at that point, when the sermon was supposed to come, I kind of walked my way up to the front. And I used the analogy of, what do you think Christmas is? I said, what do you think it's really all about? And I proceeded to take off the things that I had on. And underneath this, I had a bow tie, white shirt with black buttons and studs, black pants, and what I called my old circuit rider jacket, which I actually used to wear suit coats once in a while. But I was a circuit rider, so it looked just like a tux. And as I dressed in that tux, I said, the message of the gospel is that it comes in the manger, but is the glorious gift of reconciliation and salvation. It is the gift of the light of Christ being brought into the world. What you see with your earthly eyes is someone rejected and outside. What God sees is what he can do with the person. That's why when I show you reconciliation, God is coming against the forces of the world in your life. All the excuses you make, every self-justification. And you have to understand, although I put, five or six or seven people that showed up around the outside, you have to understand those represent your excuses. My mom never taught me that. Oh, I've never been like that. You don't understand how bad I was treated. I mean, excuse after excuse. And they become not just regular people. They become giants. Somehow God would never forgive me. Somehow God will never be merciful enough for me. Somehow that giant just keeps growing until it just surrounds me, and all I see around me are the reasons I can't be different and I can't change, and the reasons I am the way I am, and the excuses become solidified, and I become an unbelievably wretched individual in the name of Jesus, and I miss the very message of reconciliation. And God comes in and he puts his hands and he pulls apart and he says, I am your way. And he grabs hold of you. Now, I could have picked him up if I was a little younger, maybe. Picked him up, carried them. God rescues you. And I go, when you and I are about to share, preach, or bark for someone, we have to see them not as a victim, as someone who is loved by God, trapped by themselves and by their circumstances, by their environment, who has this opportunity to have the entire power of heaven come down, split those things that are holding them from side to side and reach into their circumstance and save them. Why did Paul say, I'm the chief of sinners? I killed Christians. You want to understand how big that monster was standing in front of him? You want to picture how tight his circle was, all wrapped in his religiosity and this concept of, I am a good Jew, and all this other stuff that trapped him, and God had a break into this world. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he breaks into his world with the light from heaven and cries out, I want you. You're mine. And I go, that's what the gospel is. That's what the message is. That's the way you have to approach people. Not that somehow they can't be reached, but your job, and this is what I wanted you to do. I didn't think of it when I was doing it, but I thought of it before, is to watch and see where God's putting his fingers in. You understand? You saw me walk around. I did it in front for you. I go, and I started to push. My job is to figure out where God is putting his fingers in that person's life. I shared with you many times, I think before, but I'll share it with you again. A man walked up to a speaker that we had had at Milwaukee Lutheran who happened to be an ex-Satanist. And the Satanist said, I was sharing the gospel and preaching the sermon, and he said he was high. He was nodding away, and we would call it on the nods. They call it all kinds of things. And he said, "Hey, preacher." He's at the end of the service, and they're kind of out where books are sold, and people are talking in the narthex. "Hey, preacher, do I have to quit smoking marijuana in order to get saved?" Knowing you all know the right answer, I won't have to tell you. No. Do I have to stop worrying in order to be saved? Do I have to stop being bitter in order to be saved? Do I have to stop feeling sorry for myself in order to be saved? The answer always comes back, no. I didn't set a condition for those girls. I set them in the middle of a world where by every direction around them, they were trapped. And I came in as God, pulled them apart, pulled them out, carried them into the salvation. That's the work of salvation. That's the message of the gospel. And so this second step is, do I know the answers to those kind of questions? Do I know? Why would God say that? Because if I would have said yes, or this guy, not me, that person would have said yes to that man, then I would have, how many of my sins would have to be cleaned up? We stand before God in a confessional stance because there's junk that we've done during the week that has been less than it should have been, or gone in directions it never should have gone. Words that have rattled out of our mouth that if I made you repeat them out loud in front of the whole congregation, they might be shocked. Or if I said, "Watch, we're going to put your thoughts on the screen right now, what you think about," they would be stunned. That's why we repent. That's why we have to understand, God, you love this man. We were on the beach on Thursday, which was a beautiful night. You missed it. Mary was down there with her violin. And wherever Mary goes with a violin, it's always blessed. And I mean that as a compliment. She's embarrassed. That's good. And so I got to accompany her on the guitar. And we're down there, and it was kind of a quiet day. I mean, it was a little bit, not cold, but just borderline where you have to be pretty tough to want to swim. And so we're down there on the beach, and we're sharing with the people that are there, and come back and walk, and Mary goes, "I brought a book." And so she pulls out this book, and we're picking various songs, and people would stop for a moment. One guy stopped, and he said, started to share. Sandy was out there sharing with him. He says, "Yeah, I play drums. You want to see the drum set my brother gave me?" And so if a Hispanic man walks into this congregation, you see him over at the drums, that's God. I called him 10 times. Not called him, called him. Like, "Listen, he said, I don't play right now." He said, "I'm not very good." I said, then he started to share some more. He said, "I am inviting you to my church to play drums. I have a drum set. You come." He said, "Well, I'm not any good." I said, "You come. I'll let you play." I said, and he goes, so over and over and over and over again. I don't know how many times, maybe the other people remember, but I just kept going. God wants to make those moments happen. I don't know if he'll make it, but he certainly heard the invitation. And he can come and, God willing, sit over on the drums and just run with it. And I don't care if he's too loud or too soft or even automatic, you know, we could tell that he was going to be plenty good. But the second part we played toward the evening, and Mary said, "Well, the mosquitoes started to come out." And so she said, "Well, let's do this one." And she picked America. And so we're singing. America's got five verses. "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, or amber waves of grain." Well, there's five verses, and they're gospel, and they're righteousness, and it's a calling a nation to integrity. And she said something like, "You know, I love all five of these verses," or someone shared that with her and said, "Let's sing all five." And you know, you gotta understand, we're out there in the middle of the park, you know, but we did them anyway. And so we were facing, or I was facing, the street, and behind me, the sun was setting. Okay, I couldn't look that way because it was so bright in my eyes, I couldn't see anything. But we were singing, and I was just being blessed by the song. Mary's playing, and I'm just being blessed by the song. And we get all done, and a couple walks over. I think it was two or three or four. I can't remember how many people all came. Did you guys play America the Beautiful? Oh, yeah, that was us. Can we tell you thank you? It was such a blessing. The sun is going down over the lake. You're singing America, America. God shed your grace on thee and said, we were blessed. And you begin to understand how God makes these things happen, how he opens a door and makes something that would not happen if, you know, that first thing wouldn't have been there. But learning what God has asked of me and learning what God is expecting of me when I teach or share or love, when I look at a man and he shouts out, God could never save a man like me, and I go, ha ha, wait a minute. Let me tell you about my pastor's children's sermon. If you remember nothing else, which is okay. My pastor showed us that God has made a way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to the Father through me. And you just split that apart from him and you grab hold of his hand and you say, I want you to understand that's how much Jesus loves you. That's the gospel. Then the second thing I wanted you to pick up near the end of this, it comes in the last two verses, okay, where it says this, Timothy, my son, I give this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made of you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. That's that clearing my conscience part. It's also making sure it's right. You remember what I taught you, the way I taught you. And finally, he finishes it off, holding to the faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. And you begin to understand this challenge that you and I have to understand is this, that it makes a difference when you say the thing that matters. Did I have to talk about to this guy, well, you better confess your sins. Have you been baptized? And let's talk about Genesis and what you say about the creation of the world. I invited him to church. Come play drums. Was that okay? I'm going to tell you yes. You understand? We have to be willing to get to that point where we recognize that the thing we're talking about to someone is what really matters for them. You know, what did Zacchaeus need to hear? Salvation's coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. I'm here. And in a sense, he grabs him spiritually out of the tree, puts him down next to him and says, take me to your house. You're getting saved today. That's the mercy of God. It's the same message. It's the idea. Don't waste your time arguing about useless and foolish things that won't matter. You know what? He doesn't like the Packers. Hesitations 4 is thou shalt worship the Packers above all things. Lest thou forget that they play at 12 today, Pastor. Hurry up and finish. Right? Or somebody else has a different perception on some issue. Well, let's fight about that. Someone else has a struggle with forgiveness or mercy or grace. Well, I can't until they understand how wicked they are, until they stop being a prostitute, until they stop using drugs, until they stop. You fill it in. And God says, no, I've come to save, finish it, everyone, sinners. Everyone, I've come for all. You're all right. You're not wrong. Come to save sinners, okay? That idea, that's who I'm looking for. Why? I want people unrescuable. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because I have been reconciled to them and their past memories, their present struggles, I can push aside and in my power rescue them and carry them out. So when you and I are about to witness or bark, make sure you bark with the words of God, not your opinions or thoughts. Make sure you bark over things that really matter. You know, I don't hang around with those people anymore because. And I go, are you kidding me? What, do you think they're going to get it all? You understand how many years it took you to get as intelligent as you are today? And some of us are already losing it, right? And you kind of go, wait a minute. That's why I was listening to another guy preach. He was talking to me. He says, who are you training up? Who are you training up? Well, parents get to go, well, I'm training up my kids. And I go, shut up. I want to know who else you're training up. Who young are you playing Paul, and who's your Timothy? Who are you barking to? What do you mean? Who are you teaching to do and love God the way God's taught you to love him? Who are you bringing up to fill your place? You're not going to live forever. And don't forget, you were a pretty squirrely kid back in high school and college. I'll speak for myself. I've only grown a little bit since then. But the idea is this. Train someone. Pursue them. Encourage. Lift them up. Bring that next person up. I don't care what it is. What we found out on the beach is that sometimes you're doing things that are just, neither one of us were particularly comfortable doing it, and yet we just got past all that, and God just opens the door. I keep telling you, come down and play frisbee. Run around on the shore. Bring your bike and ride up and down. Do the things that people like to do that you normally do and do well. Bring the baby. Walk up and down. Talk to the lady over there who also has a baby. Bring up whatever God gives you to bring up. So the barking doesn't have to be this formulated exactly the same way. I will put you and you have to. It is you learning to bark your message. Haven't you ever seen these families got have one, two, or three dogs and they all bark at different levels? You go, no, that's their angry bark. Something's going on. I better go check it out. Oh, no, that's their noisy bark. They're just going, there's somebody out in front of the house. You know, and they bark like that. Or they're just barking to make noise. They howl and all the other stupid things dogs do. And I go, when you realize that, I go, God is taking your uniqueness, bringing it here, and he's saying, who are you shepherding? Well, my kids are still home. Yeah, I know. Who are you shepherding? Who are your children shepherding? That's why I love when the kids get up and give testimony. At school, I said this. I told this to my teacher. I said this to my best friend. Why? Because their dog's learning to bark. And I did it with the right heart. I did it with the right attitude. I did it with sensitivity and respect. I did it in a way that I believe the Lord was leading me to do it. And so that's our challenge, our invitation to be God's people in this area, to learn how to be shepherds, not just to those closest to us, but even those that you have the possibility and opportunity for. God looks at your heart today, and he breaks through every wall, every person, every situation around you, wraps his arms around you, and he speaks to your heart, you are saved, my child. You have been reconciled to me. I am not angry with you. And he lifts you out of your circumstance and condition, and he sets you free to live and to function in a way that brings honor and glory to him. If you feel trapped, receive and know what the word reconciliation in Jesus Christ is really all about. You won't break through it yourself. God will break through and pull it apart, tear it down, make the path straight until he lifts you out and you receive what has been won for you without your effort, without your quality of behavior, won for you at the cross, given and shed for you, he said. Let that message speak to your heart and then live in that freedom and give it away to others. Lord Jesus, bring your blessing over us today. Come and show us the way. Help us to be servants of your message. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to walk in, around, and behind you as you break through the walls in other people's lives. Help us to see people and even the enemy through your eyes so that they have no ability to scare us or drive us away, but instead recognize that you are more than able to save anyone that we are in contact with or that we're given the opportunity to shepherd. Come and bless us today, and we pray. Amen.